Oh, thank you, Lord. In all things give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ that concerns you. This is the will of God for us to be thankful. Hallelujah. We bring the sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord, and we offer unto you sacrifices of thanksgiving. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. You want to shift the atmosphere in your heart and around you? Start giving thanks to God. In all things, give thanks to God. Give thanks and give praise to Him who is worthy of it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father God, thank you so much for your amazing, abundant grace, for being with us, being faithful. Lord, you promised to go with us wherever we go. You will be with us. And we can accomplish all of your good pleasure by the enabling grace that you supply of your presence, Lord. You sustain us, you strengthen us, you encourage us. And Lord, you're rooting for us. You're for us, and you're not against us. And it is your good pleasure, the Father's pleasure, to give us the kingdom. Thank you, Father, that we get to be a part of what you're doing. We want to be where you are, dwelling daily in your presence, surrounded by your glory. Oh Lord, saturate us with yourself. Hallelujah. This world has nothing for me. As the apostle said, I have died to the world and the world to me. I have nothing. There are no interests. There's nothing there that I want, I'm looking for. I find my life in Jesus. He completes me. He satisfies me. He's my bread. He's my water. He's my life. He's my all in all. He is a mighty warrior. He is. And we can do all things through Christ. Amen. Who strengthens us. He is our strength. You are my strength when I am weak. You are the treasure that I seek. You are my all in all. Seeking you as a precious jewel, Lord, to give up, I'd be a fool. You are my all in all. Consume me with your love, Lord. Hallelujah. God is in the house. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Lord, you're amazing. Hallelujah. You know what? God makes you amazing too. Yeah. He makes us look good. He is our holiness. He's our redemption. He's our wisdom. He's our life. He's all that we need. We are to be clothed in Him. He makes us beautiful. Because when we see Jesus, we're looking at beauty. So we want to look like Him. As we immerse ourselves in Him, in His presence. And He clothes us in His righteousness. We put on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make no provision for the flesh. I pray that you would take to heart today the message that you'd ask the Lord right now where you're at, just in your own heart, to say, Lord, sow this truth into my heart with an understanding, because I don't want to just be a hearer of the word, deceiving myself, but I want to be a doer. We're very educated in the church in America, many of us, but you know, in some cases though, we've gone beyond the simplicity of the gospel. We can focus on all kinds of things, you know, of God, but what we really need to know is what does Jesus really require? And folks, we need to understand what grace really looks like. Because there is a distorted view of grace today. There are false gospels being presented, false Jesuses. People are distorting this message. And you know, I want to say this, that if you, some say, I want you to hear this, if you preach holiness, you're preaching law. If you preach holiness, you're preaching law. And people will say, well, we just preach Jesus. Absolutely. But if you're preaching Jesus, that means you're preaching what he preaches and what he teaches. And Jesus said, be holy, for I am holy. And without holiness, no one will see the Lord. So I think it's important that we pay attention today and understand that if you want to see the Lord, you're going to have to be holy, and you're going to have to understand what holiness is and how to be holy, how to be prepared, how to be ready to be presented before Christ in that day. Not full of the world, but full of him. Clothed not with this world, but with him. We want to be pure. We want to be chaste. We want to be presented as, if you will, metaphorically, a virgin to Christ. That one who has not prostituted herself, a church that has not prostituted herself with the world. And people don't like to hear the message of holiness because it requires death to self. So they'll run over here and run over there, and they'll find someone who will tell them what they like to hear. But sometimes, folks, if we're feeling uncomfortable inside, it's because the Holy Spirit is making you uncomfortable, because he doesn't want you to become stagnant in the place of incompleteness. He wants to purify and make beautiful his people, so he doesn't want us to become comfortable in complacency. And I thank God for his discipline. But there are many who have misunderstood what the grace of the Lord is to accomplish. How many of you know that we've been talking about this for a while, but God's grace is not just to forgive your sins. His grace enables us to live a life of victory. He doesn't just forgive sins, but he breaks the power of sin. That's what the cross accomplished for us. But there is a part that God does, and there is a part that we do. And we have to come into agreement with the Spirit of God. And we have to cooperate with the Spirit of God for the purposes of God to be accomplished in you and I. God will not force himself in your life. How many have found that to be true? And so the title of this morning's message is Coming Out and Entering In. Coming Out and Entering In. And Israel failed to enter Canaan, and it's mentioned three times in the New Testament. And it's written there for our example today. And if the Holy Spirit mentions something three times in the New Testament, how many know we need to pay attention? And so I want to look at the first example of this in Jude chapter 1, verse 3. Beloved, while I was very diligent to write to you concerning our common salvation, I found it necessary to write to you, exhorting you to contend earnestly for the faith which was once for all delivered to the saints. Verse 4, for certain men have crept in unnoticed, who long ago were marked out for this condemnation. Ungodly men who turn the grace of our God into lewdness or licentiousness in the King James, and deny the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Now take a look at verse 5, but I want to remind you, who's he talking to? Us, the church. Though you once knew this, see, we can forget. It was a reminder that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed those who did not believe. Having saved, everybody say saved, the people out of Egypt, afterward destroyed those who did not believe. Why did this take place? Because of unbelief. Why did God save the people out of slavery in Egypt? He delivered them out of bondage of Egypt to take them someplace. How many know they were not supposed to stay in the wilderness? They were supposed to go into a land that He had provided for them, and that He had promised them, and that He was going to prepare them for, so that when they got to the border after 2 years, they were supposed to be at a place in their walk where they had learned to know His voice and His faithfulness to them, so that they would have confidence in their God to go in and do what He told them to do. God was angry with those people because they did not believe Him when He said, "You can possess this land because I have promised it to you." Unbelief angers God because we're basically saying, what? I don't believe you, God. We're not to live by the way things appear, but by what God promises. God wanted to bring the people out of the place of slavery so that He could bring them into victory. And so there's two really important parts of the gospel. And folks, unfortunately, too often we're just dwelling on the first part, and that is coming out of Egypt. Well, I'm saved. Many people focus just on that fact that they came out of Egypt, or that, listen, that their sins were forgiven. But that's only half of the gospel. The other half is that God has promised a place for you and I, called rest. A place of rest in Him. So it's not enough to come out of Egypt. We have to enter in to the promise of God's rest. And most did not, because of unbelief, because they did not believe that God would deliver them, that God would intervene for them, that God would give them victory, and God would take them into that place that He promised them. So if we're only preaching the first part of that, folks, we're preaching a half gospel. Now, another example of this is in Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 14. For we have become partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end. Hebrews 3:15, while it is said today, if you will hear His voice, do not harden your hearts, as in the rebellion. Can we still hear His voice? For who, having heard His voice, rebelled? Question. Indeed, was it not all who came out of Egypt? What do we see in Egypt? We see God's deliverance by the blood of the Lamb. Amen? Jesus hung on that cross, shed His blood to deliver us out of darkness and to bring us what? Into some place. Into the kingdom of His Son. And it says here in verse 17, now with whom was He angry 40 years? Was it not with those who sinned, whose corpses fell in the wilderness? Verse 18. And to whom did He swear that they would not enter His rest, but to those who did not obey? Do you see the connection there, verse 17? Those who sinned, and in verse 18, those who did not obey. And verse 19, so we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. Unbelief is sin. Unbelief is disobedience. If we say we believe God and we are disobedient, we are lying. Oh, people don't want to hear about this because that's legalism. No, it's the Word of God. We are to live by the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Amen? There is a word that God gives you. He speaks to your heart and He says, this is the way. Walk in it. Because I want to lead you in to my rest and to a place, amen, of blessedness. A place where there is peace from your enemies all around. But in order for you to enter into my peace, you're going to have to fight your way in. You see, God delivered them out of Egypt. They did nothing except say, okay, we're going out. They took the blood, amen, and God delivered them out with a mighty hand, and He drowned Pharaoh's armies in the Red Sea. But then God told them, but you must go in and possess the land. Do you understand? That is our responsibility, to defeat the giants in our lives. And when the giants are defeated, we will have rest. If the giants are not defeated in our lives, then we do not have rest. And if God told you that I'm giving you this land, that it is freely given, you just need to walk in obedience to my voice, and as you go, I will drive them out from before you. Why? Because I will be with you. But if you sit here and you don't move when I tell you to move, then you are not going to possess what I've freely given. It's not enough to come out of Egypt. Do you understand? The wilderness was a training ground. It was a proving ground. It was a period of time. But it was not to be nearly as long as it lasted. Amen. They had to stay another 38 years, a total of 40. And after 2 years, they were supposed to be in a place where they were ready now. They had learned that God was going to be with them. He's going to be faithful. And He had demonstrated His power, His miracles, the fire, amen, by night, the cloud by day, the manna that rained. Amen. God provided water from the rock. He took care of them. And then He brought them to the border of Canaan. And this is where they were then going to enter into warfare. But God was going to give them the victory. If they would go in His name, they would dispossess. Amen. They would drive out the enemies and they would enter into a place where they had peace. They had rest in Him. There remains a rest for the people of God. Hebrews chapter 4 verse 1 says, therefore, since a promise remains of entering His rest, let us fear, lest any of you seem to have come short of it. Listen to verse 2. For indeed the gospel, here's the gospel, was preached to us. And that is the same word, by the way, that Jesus used for gospel. Was preached to us as well as to them, but the word which they heard did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in those who heard it. When James say about that, he said, don't be a hearer only. Come on, you know, we can have all kinds of information. We can just be saturated with the word and seminars and CDs. Now I was going to say cassettes, but, you know, we can be full of all this stuff, information. But if we just have information and we're not applying that information, we're not living it out, how many know what your walk is vain? And really, what it speaks to is the fact that we are living in unbelief. If we are not possessing the land, if we're not accomplishing what God has called us to do for Him, then we're actually living in unbelief. Because the call of God for us is bigger than we are. There are giants that we're going to have to face, but we're not all going as orphans. We're not all by ourselves in this thing. God will be with us. Amen. He has given us the power of His Holy Spirit. He's given us the authority to invoke heaven's influence and to use His name to defeat these giants of sin. Amen. Folks, it's not all about demons. Sometimes people are so consumed with demons and fighting demons and spiritual warfare. But you know what? If you would deal with the giants of sin in your life, the demons can't touch you. The reason why we got to cast out demons is because of sin. Because we don't listen. Amen. I love you. Even if I make you mad, right? You hear it said a lot, but people who love you tell you the truth. And it's the truth that sets you free. We want to be free people, right? You see, they wanted to camp in the wilderness because sometimes it's more comfortable just to be in this place where I'm familiar. Even though it wasn't a nice place, it wasn't a lovely place, it was really a defeated place in a lot of ways, if you know what I'm saying. There wasn't anything good to eat there. God did provide for them, but there was something that He had promised for them, but they're going to have to wait for it. So they were not supposed to get used to it or to get to a place where they were so comfortable on the manna and the water and the situation of being in a wilderness. They should have had a longing and a desire in their heart. I'm tired of the manna and the water, amen. But I'm not going to complain about it. Why? Because God's using that to teach me something. God's using that to prepare me for something that's yet to come. And I'm looking for that Canaan land. I'm looking for the promise of God to enter into His rest and have rest from my enemies and have victory over the giants that at one time were dominating my life. God was angry, folks, because they were content to remain in the wilderness. They wanted to camp there. Moses brought them to the border. But this is the thing. They didn't believe that they could overcome the giants. That was the sin of unbelief. That's why God was so angry. It's because they did not believe Him when He said, I've given you this land. It's yours to go in and possess. And there are giants. He didn't tell them about the giants, but it didn't matter. God's word is enough. If God said it, He means it. He'll back it up. And He was angry with those people because they didn't believe Him. Even after they saw all His miracles, they didn't believe they could do what God told them to do. Folks, have you been guilty of that before? I have. God has told me to do stuff before. And it was more than I could do, bigger than me. And I struggled with unbelief. And, well, God, are you going to come through for me if I do this? I have never seen God fail. Never. When I knew He was speaking to me and I did what He told me to do, He always came through. He always backed up His word. And He wants us to learn to trust Him. Again, the gospel is more than just being saved out of Egypt. It's about living in victory over sin by defeating the giants that stand in our way. Hebrews 4 and verse 9 says, there remains therefore a rest for the people of God. If you want God's rest, you're going to have to defeat the giants. If the giants aren't slain, there is no rest. Can I suggest to you this morning that there are many, many, many believers, in fact, most believers, I believe, that are not walking in victory and they don't have rest, spiritual rest. Because the giants are beating them up day after day after day. And we allow that to happen when we don't have to. God has made a way. So you can have victory and you can defeat them. Not all on one day. I wish we could. But day by day, month by month, step by step, we're defeating these giants. Amen? When we're confronted with these things, besetting sins, habits, addictions, these are the things that God says, I've given you victory already. I promised you, you can be free from these things. And when He speaks to your heart and He says, I want you to repent. I want you to stop what you're doing. And I want you to change your mind about what you're doing. And I want you to listen to my voice and obey the instruction I give you. And when you listen to the instruction of the Lord, God will come through with His deliverance power and you will be set free. Amen. Folks, can I suggest to you that there are many people who, and I'm an ex-drug addict myself, and God has set me free. But I'm telling you, there's too many who are just willing to sit in the wilderness and in this place of defeat and just go through a process of repeating and repeating and repeating and repeating and going back and just petting the thing and petting the thing, and they're not getting rid of the giant. And God is getting angry because He's saying, I have by the blood of Christ, amen, by the blood of my Son, I brought you deliverance out of Egypt. And I want to bring you into a land, and if I've told you to take care of that thing, to deal with that sin, I'm going to provide the grace for you to be free. Amen. No more excuses. We want to make excuses for it. And you know what an excuse is? It's unbelief. It's me saying that God's not big enough for the giant. Come on. Oh, you don't know. I've been addicted to this stuff for so long. I've been smoking for so many years. I've been toking or whatever I've been doing for so many years. You don't know how bad it is, how hard it is. You don't know how big God is. Come on, our God is able to deliver. Folks, if we can get a hold of this and understand, it's by faith. It's by belief in the promise of God that victory is given to us. In Christ, there is victory over every besetting sin, over every addiction, over every demonic oppression or possession or whatever the enemy wants to throw at you. In the name of Jesus, this, we have the weapons of our warfare, amen, which are mighty to the pulling down of strongholds. We don't have to give in. God says, possess the land. Deal with it. Drive them out from before you. Hallelujah. Hebrews 4:10 says, for he who has entered his rest has himself also ceased from his works, as God did from his. What does it say? He who has entered his rest has himself also ceased from his works. Rest is not my result of me having greater confidence in my ability to overcome sin. But rest is the result of me placing my full trust in God's ability to defeat every giant in my life. Rest is not a result of me having greater confidence in my ability to live a good life, to live a holy life, to live a Christian life. But rest is a result of me placing my full confidence, my full trust in God's ability. Amen. You see, He wasn't sending them into the land so that they could do it in their own strength. They could overcome the giants in their own strength. But God says, I'm going to be with you. And my ability, amen, is what's going to set you free. It's by my grace. It's by my intervention. Ultimately, the battle is not ours. It is the Lord's. But we have to have faith in the promise of God. Confidence that God will back up what He promised He would do. If I would believe Him and do what He called me to do, God will back it up. Once again, if you want to make God angry, don't trust Him. Folks, it's serious to not trust God. It's serious business. They fell in the wilderness because of it. Because they were not going to listen to God, and they were going to just stay put. They were going to say, well, we can't, and therefore they wouldn't, you know. And Joshua and Caleb, of course, they had a different spirit, didn't they? They believed God. They believed the Word. They believed that God is well able, because God has promised us this land. We can go in and possess the land. But most everybody else didn't. They just said, man, there's giants in the land. We can't do this. We can't deal with it. No, you can't in your own strength, in your own wisdom, in your own willpower. But you can do all things through Christ. Do you know, we're not going to be able to stand before God in that day and say, God, it was just too great for me. I know you told me to stop that, but it was too big. What was that? We're saying it's too big for him. Come on. We're saying, by not obeying, that the giants are too big for God. That should be a song. We're saying, by not obeying, that the giants... I heard Robin say it one day. He said, is God weak? Question. When people make excuses, you know, for their sin. Well, is God too weak? No. Then where's the problem? It's not God, right? Come on. Yeah, I need to repent. I need to repent. I need to turn to God and say, God, it's too big. The giants are too big. I can't do it. Absolutely. I have to quit striving and trying to do it in my own strength. And I need to come into the place where now you're going to do it for me. I'm going to trust you to do it. And when you come to the place of repentance, I've changed my mind. I'm quitting living out of self. I'm going to start living in Christ, abiding in Christ, and depending upon the power of God for victory. Then you're set free from it. When I'm weak, then I'm strong. When I'm strong in myself, I'm striving, I'm fighting to try to do it. But when I come to the place where I'm at the end and I say, I can't do it, God, help me. Jesus, I need you to set me free. I need you to deliver me. You've got to come to the end. You've heard it said you've got to hit bottom. You've got to come to the end of the rope. You've got to be done. A lot of times people say, oh, I'm done, but they're not really done yet. What they want is they want God to get them out of a mess. And as soon as God gets them out, they're right back in the pit again. Are you hearing me? We need to come to the place where we're truly done and we say, God, I'm done. I repent. I turn from sin. I turn from death. And I'm going to trust you now. I can't do this thing without you. Another example, the third example here is from 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware that all our fathers were, listen, under the cloud and all passed through the sea. Who's he talking about? He's talking about the children of Israel that came out of Egypt by the blood of the Lamb. And they were baptized, what? In water and in the Holy Spirit. Do you see it? These things were written down for our admonition. They were written down for us today to take a look at. So we'll see how God deals with a people, how God deals with us in our lives, what the message of the gospel truly is. Not all the stuff that you're hearing, come on, that's going on across the television waves. There's all kinds of gospels being presented. But the gospel is very clear. There is a coming out so that we can go in. God didn't bring you out so you can sit there. He brought you out so you could possess His promises. This says they were all baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. All ate the same spiritual food and ate the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was. But listen, verse 5, but with most of them God was not well pleased, for their bodies were scattered in the wilderness. Now these things became our examples to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted, and do not become idolaters as were some of them. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Nor let us commit sexual immorality as some of them did. And in one day, 23,000 fell. Who is this written to? It's written to you and to me today. Nor let us tempt Christ. Let us, he's talking to the church, as some of them also tempted and were destroyed by serpents. Nor complain, as some of them also complained and were destroyed by the destroyer. And verse 11, now all these things happened to them as examples, and they were written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the ages have come. Every Christian should be baptized in water and baptized with the Holy Spirit. Amen? There's two baptisms here. And yet, those who were baptized in water and baptized in the Spirit still did not enter into the promise of God because of unbelief. And God was angry with them to the degree that they could not enter into the promise. Because when God tells you to do something and God tells you to go in and God tells you to deal with a sin in your life and you refuse, you're living in unbelief. Unbelief angers the Lord. And if you persist in unbelief, then you will compromise and even sacrifice the promise that God had for you. God is merciful. God is long-suffering. God will wait on us, and God will go the extra mile with us. But folks, we don't know when that time comes when God says, I'm done. There came a time in Israel where God said to that people, that generation, that the time has come. I've had enough. They will not believe me. They will not believe that I'm able to do what I promised them. And that they are able, by my strength, by my grace, to enter into their promise. As a result, they didn't enter in. And it says, and the writer of Hebrews says, let us fear. Let us fear that we might miss that place of rest. Are you saved today? Are you born again? Have you been brought out of Egypt? Are you living in God's rest? How is it really? You know, we can fool ourselves, but we don't fool God. We may be able to fool other people, and we may be able to put on our pious face and act so spiritual and so godly, but God knows our hearts, and He knows the way we really live and the way we really are. And if there are issues in our lives, and there are, that God is saying, I want you to deal with them, and if we continue to resist His Holy Spirit, God, after a while, will just quit striving, as it was in the days of Noah. He came to a place, He says, my spirit will not always strive with man. God has a point where He says, that's it. You don't believe me? You're not going to listen? I promised you. And this promise, by the way, came at the highest price. He made this promise available of His rest. And that really means heaven, folks. He made it available to us. Heaven is in your heart. How many know that? There is a place called heaven, but we're supposed to have heaven in us. We're supposed to have rest in us. We're supposed to defeat the giants in us. Man, so we can be in rest. There's no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. There's the key. As a believer, you can walk according to the flesh. You can yield to the giants. You can fear the giants and not fear God. You know, David Wilkerson said that if you fear your sin, you will serve it. If you believe that the giants are too big, then you won't defeat them. Because you can only defeat those giants and those things that seem like impossibilities, but with God they're not. But in the name and the power and the authority of your God, you can conquer every giant in your life. Every giant in your life. The devil knows it, but he doesn't want you to believe it. He's the one that tells you it's too big, it's too bad. He's the accuser. You messed up too bad. He's a liar. God says you can do it. God says you can have victory. Why? Because He's already gone before us. I will be with you. When you walk through the waters, through the rivers, through the flame, I'm going to be with you. No matter what you face in this life, I'm going to be with you. Trust me. Trust my grace. My grace is sufficient for you to bring you through every situation and to bring you into rest, to bring you into my promise. God defeated Pharaoh's armies in an instant in the Red Sea. But then He told the people they were to enter in and possess the land. Again, God's part and our part. He told them to do it. He told them to do it. How many know that can't is not a word in God's vocabulary? If it's something He tells you to do, you can. If there's conviction about a sin, you can deal with it. He will never convict you of sin and not provide the grace for you to break free, to conquer that giant. We need to stop making excuses. Well, it's just too big. The giants are too big. We're like grasshoppers. Man, we got to get another view of how big our God is.
Amen.
Come on. God is able, more than able. God wants His people to be holy. And He wants us to deal with these things of the flesh by faith in Christ alone. In Numbers chapter 14, listen, this is the account in chapter 14 and verse 11 of Numbers. The Lord said to Moses, "How long will these people reject me? Huh? How long will they not believe me with all the signs which I have performed among them?" He's saying literally the people rejected me. How do we reject God? By rejecting His Word. He is the Word. If we reject the Word, we're rejecting Him. And God had demonstrated His power, His miracles. They had seen His power. And then they come up against the border of Canaan, and there's giants in the land, and now all of a sudden, I don't know. Can I suggest to you that we can be in Pentecostal environments and be in places where we've seen the miracles of God, the demonstration of the Spirit and power. We're in His presence and we see God do miraculous things. And yet we can still be in unbelief and we can be defeated. We don't trust in miracles. Miracles should follow those who believe. Amen? We don't pursue. We don't seek after them. They should be a normal part of our life as we follow God. Because you can be in an environment and see the demonstration of God's Spirit and power and yet be an unbeliever in your heart and miss the promise. It's not enough just to come out of Egypt. God was angry because they did not take what was freely being given to them. They would not possess. They refused to possess what God promised them. Folks, God has every right to be angry with us when we refuse to defeat the giants of sin in our lives. Why? Because of the price that was paid for your deliverance and for your freedom. It's not enough to be forgiven. You need to overcome. Amen? Jesus said, "He who overcomes to the end, the same shall be saved." And we can only overcome by faith in Christ alone. Not in myself, but in Christ alone. He is my strength. He is my victor. Amen? I trust in the Lord's grace. You see, the grace of God is not just to get us off the hook. Amen? It's also to bring us into a place of victory. The reason for the baptism in water and the baptism with the Holy Spirit is so that we can conquer the giants and possess the land that God has promised us. That we can live a life of holiness that honors the Lord and brings glory to His name. When the world looks at our lives, they see the reality, the fruit of the Spirit, that Christ is in you. There are no giants punking you out. And come on, too many Christians are going around claiming to be Christians and they're bowing down to every cow. Oh, Lord, thank You for Your goodness. Do not say that the giants that you face are too big. Stop it. That's illegal thinking for a believer. Because your God is bigger than the giants. He's able, amen, to deliver you completely, to set you free. Folks, I'm not bound today. I'm not bound by sin. The power of sin is broken. It doesn't mean I don't make mistakes, but it does mean that I have victory in Jesus' name, and I don't have to bow down, amen, to any idol. I don't have to live in defeat. I don't have to live in sexual immorality. I don't have to live in covetousness. I don't have to live in greed. I don't have to be a gossip. I don't have to live in strife. I don't have to live in fear. I don't have to live in shame. Because Jesus has promised me victory. He's gone before. He's overcome the world. Be of good cheer. We are overcomers in Him. I'm going to say it again, and I repeat it a lot because we really need to understand this. If I am trusting in my ability to overcome the giants, I will fail. And I will continue to fail over and over and over again until I learn the lesson that it's not by might nor power, but by the Spirit of the Lord. Amen? Amen. It's not by what I can do, it's but what He can do. And when I come to the end of myself and I am weak in myself and I realize that, Lord, I can't accomplish Your will, I can't do anything apart from You. As a matter of fact, Jesus said, apart from Me, you can do nothing. When I come to the place, okay, now God, I'm ready. Amen? I'm ready. I'm ready for You. And together we're going to walk this thing out. Together we're going to defeat the giants. Together we're going to walk in victory. As long as I'm yoked up with Jesus, that plow is moving forward. Amen? And no devil in hell can stop you when you're yoked up with Jesus. And the devils will tremble and they'll get out of your way. The only thing the enemy has is lies and deception, and he will try to convince you and I that the giants are too big and that you can't. That's the devil speaking, folks. God says you can, and you will if you trust Me. Amen. Are you willing today to say yes to God, to repent of those things, of those areas where maybe you've just thrown in the towel and say, well, I've struggled with this giant for a long time, and I just came to the place where I just kind of gave into it because I just figure, well, I'm just going to have to live this way. I'm just going to have to live with this bondage. That's a lie. You do not have to live with that bondage another day. It's unbelief that tells us that God is not able to defeat that giant. I got to get my faith, amen, in Him whose power, His grace is sufficient. Amen. God's grace is not only to deliver us out, but to bring us in, to rest. And when they come into rest and then they had dispossessed their enemies, they had defeated the giants, then they had peace, rest, roundabout. Hallelujah. And then later on, you're going to face some more giants. But guess what? The same Lord who got you through the last battle is going to take you through that one too. And He prepares a table before Me in the presence of mine enemies. The land of rest, of promise, of plenty. I can feast on His presence. Amen. He is my bread. He's my water. He's my life. And the enemy can't touch you. If you're in Him, He can't touch you. Listen, I'm going to finish with this. If we will get a hold of our flesh, that part of us that's in rebellion to God, if we will just deal with that by the weapons of our warfare which are mighty through God, if we will deal with the giants that want to camp out in our flesh, then no devil can touch you. You don't have to worry about the devil. He's going to be worried about you. Amen? Because Christ is going to fill your vessel. You're going to be full of the Holy Spirit. That's why when people get prayed for and they get delivered from something, amen, demons come out, they need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Amen? And they need to stay filled with the Holy Spirit. So the enemy's going to, like, when you walk into the room, they're getting out of the way. Thank you, Jesus. Because Jesus is with us. And greater is He that is in us than he that is in the world. Amen.